Tapestry is called the art form of kings, who spent a lot more on tapestries in the time of Michelangelo than they spent to have their portraits painted. But few of the greatest Renaissance tapestries have survived. Most examples in American museums are faded or damaged. The Metropolitan Museum of Art has brought together works loaned by Pope John Paul II, the Queen of England, and the collection of Catherine the Great of Russia. Some critics have called it the art show of the year. David Darcy reports.
Renaissance tapestries celebrated wealth and power. One of the grandest at the Metropolitan Museum depicts the conversion of Saul, the Roman official who became St. Paul. He's shown sprawled on the ground, thrown from his horse. The tapestry was woven based on a picture by Raphael and paid for by Pope Leo X, who was competing with his predecessor, Pope Julius, who paid for the Sistine Chapel. Tom Campbell curated the Met exhibition.
At the time, there was much gossip in Rome about how much these tapestries had cost. Rumor had it they cost 16,000 or 17,000 ducats. That was something like five times as much as Julius had paid Michelangelo to paint the frescoes on the ceiling of the Sistine. So this was an extremely expensive art form.
The weavers not only worked in gold and silver, they also took at least a year and a half to complete a tapestry of that scale. One of the largest of the 41 tapestries on view at the Met is a scene from the Trojan War that's more than 15 feet high and 30 feet long. Paul Jeremak, who writes about old masters for Art and Auction magazine, says he and other critics were thrown by the scale and the striking color of the works.
No one's ever seen anything like it before. It's one of the most overwhelming museum experiences because the tapestries are so enormous. You go into a room which is lined with tapestries. I mean, you go to a museum with tapestries and there's like one or two on the wall. You're in a total tapestry environment. The first room has already gets you in. There's this huge sort of battle scene, this 15th century battle scene with people's heads getting split open and horses and armor and blood and guts. It's overwhelming for most people.
Most works in the show were created between 1480 and 1550, when a textile industry in what's now Belgium served royal courts all over Europe. Tapestry was considered a more regal art form than mere painting, and royalty from kings to cardinals paid the textile studios to weave images made by some of the greatest painters of the day. Kings are shown pillaging the fortunes of other kings and other cultures. Spanish troops are depicted draped in stolen Arab garments as they loot Tunis, a city that harbored pirates. In the panoramic late 15th century tapestry, The Killing of Troilus Achilles in Paris, characters are shown being beheaded and then dragged by horses. But curator Tom Campbell points out that not all the images glorify conquest. One earthy Italian work depicts a typical December scene, pigs being readied for the slaughter.
In many contemporary manuscripts of the day, you would literally be shown the moment at which the pigs have been killed. Here it's more oblique. We see the pigs down in the lower left corner, enjoying their last dinner of acorns, as the executioner stands by with his axe. And then in the middle, we've got a great cauldron bubbling away, a chap loading on sticks to tend the flames. The cauldron's being stirred by a woman who's sort of being groped from behind by this chap as she sort of gazes rather dreamily at this string of sausages, very phallic sausages she's lifting out.
The tapestries were intended to be woven paintings, and Paul Jeremak says that effect is still there. Seeing them is literally feeling them.
It's a very soft, warm effect. It's not like you're seeing a painting or on panel, which is all very hard enamels, or painting that's on canvas. You're seeing something that is constructed out of wool and dyes and metallic thread, and it's tactile to the eye. I mean, you may want to, like, you know, stick your hand out and touch it and rub it, but you can't, obviously. But there's something very also soothing about it.
By the middle of the 16th century, the art form of kings suffered when the Low Countries were ravaged by wars. Skilled weavers dispersed, and although later kings in later centuries tried to revive the industry, curator Tom Campbell says other historical forces did it in.
The single greatest loss was that of the French Royal Collection in 1797, when the Directory, the French government of the time, decreed that all of the great 16th century tapestries from Francis I's collection should be burnt in order to extract the silver and gold thread, which they wanted to pay off the debts of the royal wardrobe. So we've lost an enormous slice there.
Only about 30 of Henry VIII's 2,400 tapestries survive. Most Renaissance tapestries are damaged, whether from bacteria absorbed from floors and walls, from light, or from hanging on nails. Today, tapestries are best preserved in museums. They're sort of like elephants. They're nice to look at, but as W.C. Field said, you probably wouldn't want to own one. Yet compared to the art that today's robber barons are acquiring, curator Tom Campbell says tapestries can be a relatively good buy.
It's quite extraordinary when you think how highly valued these great works originally were, far, far in excess of any paintings. Yes, I mean, for a second-rate impressionist, you could probably buy two or three wonderful tapestries today.
The Met's Renaissance Tapestry Exhibition runs through June 19th. The fragility of the works and the logistics of bringing them together will keep it from traveling and will probably keep a show like it from happening again anytime soon. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.
For more on tapestries, go to our website, npr.org.